Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Episode 22 of From the Shed End podcast, where we talk things Chelsea and everything Chelsea related. I'm T-Dot, and I'm joined obviously with Theo as always. So how are you doing, Theo?
I'm good, thanks. It was good to be at Stamford Bridge on Saturday and get the 3 points. So made my weekend worth it for sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we may as well get straight into it. Good game, 3 points, another clean sheet. What was your thoughts? Obviously, you was there at the game. So what was your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was obviously, for me, it was a champions in the making performance. We didn't necessarily play very well, I thought. I thought Villa were maybe even the better team in terms of the chances they created and the possession they had around the box. But then the scoreline doesn't really reflect that because we came out with a 3-0 win, 3 points, a clean sheet. And, you know, so it's kind of, it reminded me a bit of, you know, that Conte season or even Mourinho football where we weren't necessarily playing well, but we were getting the 3 points and a clean sheet. And obviously this goal scorer, Lukaku, was, you know, he was fantastic. Two shots on target, two goals. And, you know, that's what we kind of lacked in the last couple of seasons was that number nine, who's clinical in front of goal. And if you look at those goals, they were really well taken, really, really well taken. Yeah. I was on the... in the East Stand lower. So I got a perfect view of that second goal he scored, you know, in extra time. It was fantastic. You know, I think it might have just been on the line, so I want to count it as outside the box. But, you know, he rifled it in with his left foot, and it was a fantastic goal. And even the first goal, you know, he kind of said that he knows Twanzebe from his time at Man United, and he kind of read what he was going to do. So it was a brilliant, brilliant number nine performance, and the Kovacic finish was, where was that? You know, we haven't seen that in ages from him, but... I think maybe if he can add goals to his game this season, then that would be fantastic as well to have maybe another midfield option who can score goals. But it was a good performance. I thought if I had to highlight two players that played really, really well, it'd have to be Thiago Silva and Edouard Mendy. I think we almost take these really good saves from Edouard Mendy for granted at times because they are fantastic and they're game-winning saves. I think we were speaking about it offline. It's when are we going to start to put Edouard Mendy in that world-class bracket? And based on form, for me, he's currently in the top three goalkeepers in the world, without a doubt. Maybe along, you know, an Alisson or an Ederson or potentially a Courtois if he's, you know, on form with Real Madrid. But he's definitely up there with the three best goalkeepers in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I you know, I said it on after the game on Saturday. I think even going back to before the international break against Liverpool, that you think about some of those saves that he made in that game, and even more so against Aston Villa as well, especially when it was 0-0. You know, I thought in the first half I was very, for some weird reason, very nervous. Maybe because of defensively, I just wasn't happy in terms of how we were playing defensively. I think that had a massive part to play in the fact that we didn't have N'Golo Kante in midfield as well, and which we're going to touch on, Sal Niguez coming in and trying to adapt to the Premier League in such a way. It just seemed very open for Aston Villa. It made it very easy for them to get the ball, you know, into the channels and gave them opportunities. You know, they had, you know, half decent chances in the first half to score goals. And, you know, as you just mentioned around Mendy being the goalkeeper that he is and being able to pull those saves off. But, it, you know, looking back at the game, even beforehand, you know, 3-0 is quite a flattering scoreline in terms of how we played over the 90 minutes. But I just wanted to get your thoughts because the pass from Kovacic for the first goal, he literally takes out the whole defence. I think he takes on two players beforehand as well and was able to get the ball over to Lukaku. But do you think that's the role now that we need to see more of from Kovacic in terms of being able to split the defence apart the way he did and be able to be the assist provider for someone like Lukaku.
Yeah, I feel a bit bad now because I mentioned Thiago Silva and Mendy as my kind of men of the match. But but I think Kovacic, how can I forget him? He was fantastic. And as you said, that ability he has to kind of split, you know, defences open. I think we saw it in his first season when he had that amazing pass through ball to Hazard against Liverpool at home at the Bridge. And I think when, you know, we weren't playing Mount, maybe we were resting him for tomorrow night. And because he was quite heavily involved with England and international duty. So about Mount on the pitch, you kind of look at Kovacic, you know, for that kind of assist-making, you know, positional role that he can offer. And he does have, you know, assists in his locker. We do see it. He's fantastic on the ball. And I think more than Kante, Jorginho, and I don't really know much about Sal Niguez yet, but I think he's that midfielder that can beat players, you know, get past players, dribble past them. And he is very skillful. He is extremely skillful. And, you know, it's almost like, I say this a lot, but it reminds me a bit of Hazard, how he almost has like a string attached to the ball and his center of gravity is pretty low. So he can kind of, you know, wiggle past players quite easily in midfield. And he has pace as well. He's honestly, I'm going to say it again, but with Mendy, we kind of, you know, said, when are we going to look at him and say he's world-class? But I think performances like that from Kovacic almost merits, you know, that world-class label as well, because he was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I do agree that we do look at him for assists now when players like Mount aren't going to be on the pitch. And yeah, I think we were playing, was it Hudson and Ziyech as the kind of maybe in the Mount position. But yeah, he was brilliant. And I do think we saw him, you know, he was player of the season under Lampard. And I think he's only going to get better under Tuchel as well. So he's definitely a player to watch this season.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It was interesting as well. You mentioned Mason Mount, and I think the same for Andreas Christensen, who I think will potentially play tomorrow now with Trevor Chalobah coming into the game against Aston Villa, who I thought had a very decent game considering, as I mentioned before, the opportunities that Aston Villa had. Him and Thiago Silva were brilliant, especially in, you know, the first half. But what did you make of Callum Hudson-Odoi? Obviously, he was the automatic option in terms of Reece James being suspended, but he seemed very comfortable at right wing back for the first half. And I know he switched to the left side when the substitutions were made in the second half. But just in terms of a right wing back, what were your thoughts on him as a makeshift right wing back, if you want to call him that?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him play that position quite often now under Tuchel. And I do think he offers, you know, an attacking threat in that position. Maybe not as solidly defensively as maybe an Azpilicueta or a Reece James, but I do think it's an option. And I was reading this morning how Tuchel was really reluctant to let him go on loan to Borussia Dortmund for that exact reason, how versatile he is, how he can play winger, right wing back, even potentially left wing back. So I think that's the main reason he wanted to keep him. I do think he can still improve. I was also reading this morning that Southgate still considered him in his England plans, but wants to let him continue to develop, I think, in the under 21 squad for England before kind of, you know, introducing him maybe like he has with some other players like Greenwood, Mount and those other youngsters. But no, I think he had a solid game. The man on my right at Stamford Bridge wasn't so keen on him for some reason, but you'd have to ask him why. I think he is definitely an option, you know, when when Azpilicueta lacks in pace and when Reece James, we want to give him a rest. I think Hudson-Odoi's right wing back is definitely an option. And it almost makes you wonder, had we gone in for Hakimi and managed to get Hakimi, you know, where would have this left Hudson-Odoi and maybe even Azpi? So definitely an option at right wing back for me.
Yeah. And I agree. I think he's definitely, I read the same article maybe that you did around Tuchel not allowing him to leave or not wanting him to leave. So it makes sense, makes perfect sense for me. And I suppose when I said, you know, it was a sort of unconvincing performance, we do have to remember, obviously, he didn't have Christensen in the team, who has played really well to start this season. Mason Mount didn't feature. We didn't have N'Golo Kante as well. So there were some key kind of absentees in the team, but it does again highlight the depth that we've now got in the squad, where we can bring on, you know, or bring in a Trevor Chalobah, or, you know, we can play Kovacic and Hudson-Odoi as well. Alonso, again, I thought had a brilliant game, captain as well. So I think he done his captain duties really well and played really well, kept keeping Chilwell out of the team as well. But I want to get onto the main topic of discussion in terms of Sal Niguez, because I feel like it's, you know, obviously social media is the sort of craziest place to try and get an opinion from sometimes. So obviously there were mixed emotions on there. Some people felt that, you know, it was the right thing to do to sub him off. He just didn't get the pace of the game. It was a big game to come into. And some just criticized him, which I think was very unfair. I think, you know, you come into a league where it's international break. You're not really training with the full squad. You're learning a new language. I don't think he's obviously not fluent in English as well. And it's just a different culture. You know, it's a different culture. It's a different league to get your head around as well. So, I did sort of tweet when the game was on that, you know, he's going to learn really quickly. He hasn't got 2 or 3 seconds on the ball in the Premier League to kind of decide what you want to do. You've got to be at the pace of the game. And rightfully so, I do agree that, you know, Thomas Tuchel subbing him for Jorginho made perfect sense. But I just want to get your thoughts because, you know, everyone's got different opinions on it, but I just want to get your thoughts on, was it the right call to sub him at halftime?
I think for the sake of the game and to kind of securing the 3 points, it was the right call. And maybe Sanchez's head wasn't really in the game. And I'm sure he had that chat with Tuchel, you know, at halftime, and they made the decision together. But for all these kind of like talk on social media about his performance, you can't judge a player in 45 minutes. It's absolutely absurd. And as you said, the transition from Spain to England, from La Liga to the Premier League, is very, very difficult. It's a completely different, you know, pace of the game. That, you know, so I feel the Premier League is a lot more physical. You don't have 3 seconds on the ball. And if one thing Tuchel's kind of, you know, cemented in his Chelsea team is how he wants to win the ball back in, you know, a matter of seconds. And I'm sure other Premier League sides are trying to do that now too. So he did dawdle a couple of times on the ball and lost possession. But particularly that one chance, I think, which Ollie Watkins managed to kind of round Mendy, and then Thiago Silva put in an incredible block, and my heart was skipping a beat at that moment. But I think he will definitely learn from that for those 45 minutes. And again, as you said, he hasn't really trained with the majority of that squad. His midfield partner for the game, Kovacic, was on international duty for the last, you know, couple of weeks. So I don't think he only had 1 or 2 training sessions maybe alongside him. But I think he will actually start on Tuesday, tomorrow. I think maybe he'll give Kovacic a rest this time, seeing he played the 90 minutes, and maybe put him alongside Jorginho. And but I've got no doubt he's a really good player. He will come good. And I think I mentioned in one of the previous episodes that what he can add to this Chelsea squad is goals. Mm-hmm. And maybe in Atletico Madrid, he's kind of, you know, used to maybe doing a bit more of the, you know, attacking kind of, you know, play, and maybe letting, I don't know who was the CDM at, maybe a Thomas Partey at the time at Atletico Madrid or someone like that, do the kind of dirty work. But maybe what he needs to kind of learn in this Chelsea side is that, you know, everybody does a bit of the dirty work in this team, you know, whether it's Mount, whether it's Lukaku, whether it's Sanchez, whether it's Kovacic, whether it's Alonso, everyone, you know, tracks back and does some of the work. But I think he will learn quickly. Give him a couple more training sessions or a couple more weeks of training with the, you know, the full team, where I know particularly those midfield players. And he'll definitely be one to. I think we will make the move permanent next summer, if I'm honest. And that's not based on any performances I've seen him in, but I think it's just, you know, a matter of logic maybe. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we've got to remember as well, you know, we go back to Thiago Silva against West Brom. You know, it was very similar. You know, you got run ragged. Even looking at this season, you look at Varane for Man United, or even Jadon Sancho hasn't lit up the Premier League as of yet. Emerson Royale for Spurs at the weekend as well had a torrid game. So I think it's just the case of adapting to the Premier League, understanding what, maybe not what's being asked of him, but just in terms of the different approach that he'll need to take in terms of the Premier League as well. So I agree with you 100%. You know, I think the fact we've got the option to buy at the end, it's just a safety net. I think we will get made the deal permanent. It makes sense to do that as well. But you know, overall in terms of the game, as much as I've sort of come on today and moaned about it wasn't the perfect game, but you know, one of the things I said to you at the weekend was, you know, we don't have to play pretty all the time, or we don't have to win in the greatest fashion, but as long as we get the 3 points, and that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. You know, that's how champions win games, and if that's what it takes to get 3 points, then so be it. You know, ideally, you know, you'd like to see a bit more entertaining. I don't think that's the right word, because it was entertaining, but you know what I mean. It wasn't very convincing at times when I was watching it. So it was just maybe that first half nerves, couple of changes at the back, obviously with Hudson-Odoi, Chalobah coming in, Salnaguer's debut as well, kind of just uneven, you know, messed around with the back a bit too much. But, you know, 3 points is 3 points. And credit to Aston Villa, because they actually did play well. I thought John McGinn played really well. I know you mentioned, I think it was Cash or Target you mentioned.
Yeah, it was Cash.
With Cash.
It was ridiculous. I was literally sat right behind him in the East Lower, and about three of his throw-ins, and particularly the throw-in that led to the Mendy double save.
Yeah.
His foot was on the pitch, you know, and the linesman just looking at him, and I was kind of, you know, when Mendy was pulling off those saves, I was happy, obviously, but in the back of my head, I'm like, let the ball go in and let VAR do its thing, because it was ridiculous. And I think he did it three times, and he would take about 30 seconds to clean the ball as well as, you know, his purple towel to make sure it was perfect. I think VAR would have maybe disallowed that goal had it gone in.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, because I can't remember what game I was watching, but they mentioned a lot of teams now are bringing in set piece specialists to work on things like throw-ins and getting the extra, you know, advantage in terms of throw-ins, and using throw-ins as like corners now, which is what a lot of teams are doing, that long throw-in. So it's interesting, you know, I think, you know, defensively, I think you have to be on the job from a throw-in now, because it is like a corner. It goes back to, I think, Rory Delap a few years ago for Stoke. He used to be sort of the throw specialist, and, you know, he'd get it into the box. So I thought defensively, second half, we played a lot better. I thought Mendy was the outstanding, arguably probably man of the match again. Maybe him, like you mentioned, Thiago Silva and Kovacic as well. They were my standouts as well. And obviously Lukaku, you know, we forget now that we've got him, the fact that he scored two goals, it's almost, you know, we kind of take it a bit for granted that he's just scored two goals and that's it. But he took the first goal really well. And the second goal, the second goal was probably harder actually, because it's under his feet. He has to dig it out from under his feet and get the shot off. I wanted to ask you actually, from a Chelsea perspective and obviously being at the game, and I think that goal potentially would have been, I think you mentioned just where you were sitting, but just how awful, or maybe it's the wrong word, but how out of position Tyrone Mings was for quite a lot of the time. And I know for the build up for the third goal, I think it's Aspilicueta who sort of takes it past him and gets it into Lukaku. But just how bad was he from watching him at the game?
I mean, he. We all know he's a good centre back. We saw it in the last couple of seasons. He's a very solid centre back. But I think just the whole game kind of was not for him. And I could see him from the first half. As soon as that first goal went in, he looked really frustrated. I don't think he was frustrated with other players. He was frustrated with himself. And obviously, the second and the third goal were mainly due to him. You know, the back pass that, you know, didn't have enough weight on it to the goalkeeper, and then allowing Azpilicueta to almost just, you know, ghost past him. I think it was just kind of a frustrating, you know, afternoon for him, and the frustration got to his head and let him kind of, you know, make those mistakes. And it's a shame. I mean, it's a shame from a neutral point of view, because Villa had a good game. And, you know, when you look at maybe the three goals, they were avoidable in a way. Maybe if Twanzebe was a bit more solid and didn't go to ground as easily, if Mings didn't make those two defensive mistakes, you're kind of looking at Chelsea and thinking, shoot, where are we going to get these goals from?
Yeah.
But no, it was a frustrating night for Mings, definitely.
Yeah. And it's going to be, I mean, I know you don't really want to harp on about Villa too much, but they have brought in some key players. They were missing some key players as well. You know, arguably their best goalkeeper, well, their best player, one of the best players for them is the goalkeeper who was, I think, quarantined in Croatia at the time or wherever it is. So, you know, Steer coming in, didn't have the best of games as well. But yeah, you know, John McGinn, I love him. You know, I think he's a brilliant midfielder. I thought he was good as well. But I think on the day, you know, you just look at, you know, we haven't even mentioned Hakim Ziyech as well, who I thought, you know, had a brilliant game as well. Kai Havertz, I thought, had a decent game. You know, it just shows now that having that number nine in the position that we've been crying out for last season, it just seems like now is the time where we've got to press on, and we've got to. Just keep this momentum. And like I just mentioned, we might have to win ugly, but if we win, you know, no one's, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're not going to care that we didn't play the best football against Aston Villa. We're just going to care that we got 3 points and it was 3-0.
Definitely. I think now that we can rely on Lukaku to bury those chances we have in front of goal, maybe it allows also players like you mentioned, Kai Havertz and Ziyech, and maybe on Pulisic when he comes back in, to do a bit more of the creative work rather than the, you know, try to, you know, go for goal and be the main man. But yeah, it shows the depth we have in our squad. And I think maybe the fact we're talking about the performance being quite poor, as we said, was no Mount, no Christensen, no Pulisic, no Kante, and yeah. we still managed to win 3-0. So it's I think we can be very pleased with ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. So let's move our attention to tomorrow. Big game. Champions League is back, which is as much as I'm glad it's back. I'm glad it's back, but I just want us to win it again so we don't have to, so we can still call ourselves champions of Europe. But talking about the group, obviously Group H, we've got Zenit St. Petersburg, Juventus and Malmo, which I look at that group and it is a group that we should be getting out of. But let's talk first about the game tomorrow. What changes to the team potentially would you make, if any, from what you got to see against Aston Villa?
I did mention Sarnagez. I think he should be starting. I think you maybe give him the 90 minutes, if anything, this time, or at least a bit further into the second half to make him, you know, adapt. I know this is not really a Premier League game, so it's can't really call it English football, but just give him, you know, more minutes around his teammates. I like to see Chilwell play. I think Alonso has played every single game, Premier League game, and he played the Super Cup final as well. So I think this is the perfect game to reintroduce Chilwell into the team. And the other change I think I'm making, I think I bring Kepa as a goalkeeper. I mean, Mendy's been fantastic, but I think these are the type of games, you know, we saw that Kepa's capable of putting in great performances, like we saw in the Super Cup when he was called upon, and also the back end of last season. And then the back line, I think it makes sense to bring Christensen as well back in, maybe for Chilobo, maybe for Silva. We know Silva's now, you know, approaching that big quite, you know, late 30s. So I think,
yeah.
We want to rest him as much as possible. We saw how valuable he can be in these you know, these kind of tight Premier League games. And then Mount, obviously, I think, you know, he was rested for a reason. We'll probably bring him back into the Champions League opening group stage game. And I'm going to say it from the bench. I'd like to see Loftus-Cheek play a part on Tuesday to be introduced off the bench. I was kind of hoping I'd see him come on when I saw his name and Barkley's name on the bench. I was kind of thinking, you know, it makes sense for Loftus-Cheek to come on at one point. And then we ended up bringing Jorginho, Aspi and Werner on instead. But I think this is, I'd love to see Loftus-Cheek play a part on Tuesday as well.
Yeah. And I think the fact that they were both on the bench, Barkley and Loftus-Cheek, it kind of tells you, as much as Thomas Tuchel, I think there was a comment he made, I'm not sure if it was in the press conference or you might have been in the press conference, and he said he didn't want to come into the season with just two midfield players. And obviously you've got Barkley and Loftus-Cheek who can play midfield as well, which is why he brought Sarnagez in. But I agree with you. I think, you know, it'd be a good game for Ben Chilwell. I think we've got to be careful that we don't isolate him too much from the starting 11. And there could become a point where, you know, he is needed. He is needed to play a run of games, but just isn't up to fitness. Or, you know, you just lose that little bit of edge in terms of being able to just compete at this level. And I think that's key. I think he'd be brilliant to play. I'd love to see Loftus-Cheek start, to be honest. I think it looks like he's staying now, obviously. So there's no real option for them to move on. So I think play them. If we're going to keep him here, we've got to play them. It's a perfect game. My only question is, would Tuchel tweak with the squad too much in terms of opening Champions League game? You don't want to be on the back foot. We've still got to play Juventus, and we've also got to play Malmo as well, and obviously the return fixtures as well. But just in terms of Zenit, who you know, I can't remember if we've played them before in the Champions League.
I can't remember
I don't think we have. But I know, obviously, from watching them in their own league, they're a brilliant team. It just worries me if I understand about Kepa. I don't know if I'd start him. I don't know. I'd like to say yes, and I'm going to say yes, actually. But I just think, do we need to change the goalkeeper just for the sake of giving Kepa game time? I'm not sure. But yeah, I think whichever team we put out, we should be beating Zenit in terms of the quality that we've got. And that's no disrespect to Zenit at all. But I just think in terms of what we've got, we should be able to go out there and beat them. And we've got a big game coming up on at the weekends as well against Spurs. So I think resting a couple of those players will be key. I think you're right. I think Mason Mount potentially plays, you know, 90 minutes. He gets back in the game, getting ready for the big game against Spurs as well. But just in terms of the group itself, because obviously we've just mentioned Juventus and Malmo as well. realistically, should we be topping the group or should we be looking at maybe getting seconds behind Juventus? Because I'm sure, you know, obviously people still say without Ronaldo being there, they're still a force in some ways as well.
I think it's quite funny because a couple of weeks ago, I think when the group was announced, we recorded an episode and I was talking about, you know, we should be looking at least topping or coming second to this group, you know, behind Juventus potentially, and I'll take that. But now that Ronaldo's left and now that I've seen Juventus's domestic form, I'm thinking we should be winning this 100%. Juventus, they've drawn to Udinese, I think. I think they might have lost last week to another side before the break, and they lost this weekend to Napoli.
Yeah.
But I think we should be beating them just purely based on when you compare the quality of the players of each team. And Allegri is a very good manager, don't get me wrong. But I think the quality of the players on either side, you compare Lukaku to Morata, you compare, you know, the Chiellini and Bonucci, fantastic players, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they're aging. They are aging. And I think, you know, the pace of Lukaku and will kind of, you know, prove to be better for us. So I think if we don't top the group, I'd be very, very disappointed with Chelsea.
Yeah. And we've got to remember as well, Lukaku knows Juventus. He's played, obviously, for Inter Milan. He'll know how to play against them. It's going to be interesting. I agree with you. I think we should definitely top the group. I think there's no real excuses. We should be topping the group. It's going to be, I do think Zenit will give us a game. I don't think they've lost a game in their domestic league all season. I think they've won 5, drawn 2, scored 16 goals, 17 points clear at the top. But I do think they'll give us a game. I really do. I think they'll give us a game. But it's going to be interesting. It's at the Bridge. You know, good times back at the Bridge. I'm actually coming down for the game as well, which would be interesting. I haven't done a Champions League night for a while, so I'm going to be looking forward to that as well. But just in terms of predictions for tomorrow, what's your thoughts?
I did my predictions on the app yesterday, and now that you've mentioned that Zenit's domestic form, you know, 17 points at the top, I'm a bit... But no. I think you've got to remember we're at Stamford Bridge. I think it'll be a trickier game when we travel to Russia and we play them. But I'm going to stick with what I put on the app yesterday, which was 3-0 to Chelsea.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see a clean sheet. Well, it depends. If Kepa's in goal, and this is no criticism to Kepa at all, but we just know how Mendy is in terms of clean sheets. And if Mendy's in goal, I'm going to go 2-0. If Kepa's in goal, I think it'll be 2-1. I think we'll let a goal in. I do. I think he's prone to a mistake, isn't he, Kepa? As much as he's developed as a goalkeeper, you know, he is prone to make... I don't know if he'd have saved those worldies from Mendy at the weekend or against Liverpool. Mm. I think he's a brilliant goalkeeper, Kepa, but for 22 million, we've definitely got a good bargain in Mendy. So we'll have to see. It'd be interesting if Lukaku starts as well. I mean, I think he will. But you've got to imagine he's played quite a bit of football over the summertime as well in terms of the Euros. He's played against Arsenal, played against Liverpool. He played at the international break as well. And he's played against Aston Villa. And we've got, like I said, we've got a big game against Tottenham coming up at the weekend. So it'd be interesting if he rests Lukaku as well. And maybe tries and plays a Werner or Havertz up there at the top.
I think we have to kind of really focus on winning this game, and we saw it last year in the Champions League how comfortable it was simply because we won those games early on. You know, we won, I think, 3 or 4 on the bounce, and then we were kind of allowed, I think we drew Sevilla, and then it was, you know, we won every single game until that draw against Krasnodar where we'd already qualified. And if we can kind of replicate that this season, then that'd be fantastic, and, you know, have a kind of a comfortable November December Champions League run. And I think what I'd like to see tomorrow is Lukaku start. And if my prediction's right and we go 2-0 up quite early on, you know, take all those key players off the pitch, you know, come the 60th minute, 70th minute, which would be Lukaku, which would maybe be Jorginho, Kovacic, one of the two start. And even maybe one of the centre-backs should Silva start, which I said I don't think he should, but should he start? Then maybe bring him off and bring, you know, an Aspi maybe and switch Reece James to centre-back, or Aspi plays centre-back and Reece James is on the right wing-back. Because we've got Reece James back. He's not suspended for this game, which is brilliant as well. But yeah, I think we should really have Tottenham in the back of our minds when Tuchel should have it in the back of his mind when he selects his starting 11 for tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure we'll do a preview of that game, which I'm looking forward to. But that should be interesting. be a nerve-wracking game. But yeah, focusing on tomorrow, 2-0, 2-1, I'll definitely take that as the first opening game of the Champions League. It's obviously brilliant to be back. Spurs will have, I'm assuming Spurs will be their conference league game. Yeah, so I think that's on Thursday. So I'm sure that'll be interesting.
Whether they play their full team or they, I don't know if they've got as much depth in their squad as us, but
I don't think they have. But it'll be interesting to see. They had a shocker against at the weekend against Crystal Palace. So we'll have to see. But yeah, interesting times. So yeah, Champions League is back. We're joint top, I suppose we can say that. We're joint top at the top of the table in the Premier League as well. So it's happy days being a Chelsea fan. As always, you can follow us at From the Shed End. That's at From the Shed End on Twitter and at From the Shed End on Instagram with underscores between each of the words. If you're watching on YouTube, it's at the very bottom for you. If not, they'll all be part of the description as part of the episode description as well. So this has been episode 22 of From the Shed End podcast with myself, T-Dot, and Theo. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll be back to discuss Tottenham in the week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.